Hello and welcome back to the Third Period Podcast, where we take a look at the UK's ice hockey leagues. We're sponsored by Willie's Ice Hockey Emporium for all your ice hockey needs. Check them out. Hello everyone and welcome back to another episode of the Third Period Podcast. Today I have Ash and Scott with me, and always I hope they are both well. So this week's episode, we're joined by a player who has an AHL career high in minutes at 367 with 163 saves, two shutouts with Iowa in 2017-18 season, named in the ECHL All-Star team in the 16-17 season, set a career best of 2.68 goals against average and a 0.917 save percentage with Quad City in the ECHL. Played 24 games for Coventry Blaze last season, recording 15 wins and picking up 77% of points available in the games that he played for us. 2.52 goals against average and a 92.68 save percentage with three shutouts on the way, making the first all-star team of the season. We welcome CJ Mutt. CJ, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Danny. Thanks, everyone, for having me.
No problems at all. So we'll start with the cliche question. Where did it all start with yourself for hockey then?
Well, my parents never really grew up playing hockey. They were both sports people. My dad played football and my mom played volleyball and basketball. But for some reason, hockey was on our TV one day when I was about 4 or 5. And I just said, hey, I want to try that out. So, you know, being sports people, they just signed me up for learning to play hockey. And that's where it all started.
As easy as that. Was it always going to be a netminder from day one then, or was it something that you kind of were persuaded into later on or decided you wanted to do it as a rebellious streak? It's an unusual one.
Day one, I just loved hockey, loved putting on the equipment, skating around the ice, you know, fast like every kid. And then, you know, just when you're in that, you know, 5 to 6, 7 year old, every kid gets a chance to play goalie. Everyone kind of rotates through. And for whatever reason, when I got in there, I loved it. I don't know if it was because the goal is the only one to play the whole game and I just didn't want to come out, or it was the big equipment that I thought looked pretty cool. I don't know what it was, but I just loved it.
It's a good position to be in if you enjoy it, but not so much if you're a parent of a kid who's trying to get into that position.
Yeah, my parents supported me very well through it. My brother is playing for Vancouver right now as a forward, but growing up, he kind of saw me and wanted to give goalie a try too. And my parents are kind of like, ah, you're a pretty good forward. Let's just keep you there. So it worked out for him.
Yeah, don't want to be paying for two sets of goalie kits. So started in the NAHL with Traverse City North Stars, then moving on to the USHL with Waterloo Blackhawks, where you stayed for two seasons. How would those leagues compare in terms of junior leagues to somewhere like the Quebec leagues?
I think the NAHL is a good stepping stone for younger kids or kind of older junior players who, for no reason, haven't had the chance to make it to the college yet. Say it's a very good league. It's probably maybe a step down from, you know, Quebec league or the OHL, those kind of leagues. But it was a great year for me. I was 16, 17 years old and getting to play against, you know, a lot of guys who are 19, 20, 21. Just as a development year was awesome. And then, you know, moving up to the USHL in Waterloo for two seasons, you know, that's, you know, just the same level comparison, you know, OHL. It's the best in the US, just like the OHL and major juniors is the best in Canada. So I think, we'd have a good rivalry between those two leagues of any teams. And, you know, those 2 years is really kind of where I hit a groove and, you know, got to play against a lot of skilled players who end up playing, you know, big college minutes. You know, a lot of guys go on and play big time, you know, NHL or pro careers. So just getting to play at that skill level, you know, helped me develop as a player for sure.
So moving on from those junior years, as to say, you took the NCAA route. Am I right in thinking that your parents both work in the education field? So was there a bit of a gentle persuasion to go the NCAA route, or was that always the plan for you?
Just being from Michigan, there's a lot of really good NCAA schools in there, probably 6 or 8 teams that are in Division I. So I think just growing up, I kind of always wanted to go that route. Major juniors and stuff isn't as big in the U.S. as it is in Canada. But you know, I went over there and had a went to a couple of camps and tryouts and stuff, and had some good showings and had some good talks with teams to potentially go over to the OHL. But just for me personally, I thought it was better, you know, to go the NCAA route. You know, you get a few more years of development, come out of there a little bit older, a little bit more developed. So I think that was one reason why I chose it. Plus, you know, I get that education. And for sure, my parents, both being educators, really wanted me to get that degree. So they definitely, it was probably a gentle persuasion. That's probably the right way to put it. They didn't tell me I couldn't go anywhere, or couldn't go to Canada, but they kind of said, you know, just make sure you think about, you know, the long term too.
Well, definitely. And you then spent the following 4 years with the Ferris State Bulldogs, where you weren't and you were up for a plethora of accolades. A lot coming in your junior year. A couple to mention, you're in the top 10 for the Hobie Baker Award, and you received the Ferris State Athletics Dean Davenport Bulldog of the Year Award. All in your them two were both in your junior year. Was that the standout year for yourself during the 4 years?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think I like to think I was consistent throughout my 4 years there. I just think our team really clicked that year. For whatever reason, you know, we just clicked, you know, forwards are putting goals in that. We had a really good team defensively as well. So I think that just as team success, you know, brought some more personal success for me and maybe a little bit more noticeable. But I think, you know, over the 4 years, I like to at least like to think I was pretty consistent. I like to say I play a consistent game. So I think just as a team, we just gelled that year.
Well, going on from that junior year and into your senior year at Ferris State, you were named the team captain. Was it weird having the letter being a netminder?
It was different, a little bit different expectations going into the year. But I think I had a good senior class around me. We had seven other seniors. So just we had a good senior class that kind of kept everyone in check, as long as a couple assistant captains. Just had a really good group. And for me, I'm not always the most vocal person in the room, but I wasn't afraid to say something that had to be said, especially if you weren't playing so well. And then I also like to think I lead by example. And I think over my first 3 years, a lot of guys on the team respected that. You know, I put in the work. I didn't, you know, when coach wasn't looking, I wasn't taking, you know, a rep or two off. You know, I was making sure I got all my work done. I think just over the 3 years in my consistent play, just got that respect to the team.
Brilliant. And during that last season in Ferris State, you ended up with, you got four AHL games with the Bridgeport Sound Tigers. How does that happen for, well, at the time, a college kid?
Yeah, so it's not that uncommon for guys after their senior years or their end of a college season to get an opportunity to play pro. Happens a lot of times, especially drafted guys. So you'll see, you know, in college one night and then all of a sudden they're NHL the next night if they sign a contract. So it's not that uncommon. Most everyone who's, you know, going to play pro the following year tries to, you know, get an opportunity at the end of their season to play some pro games. For me, I actually was heading down to Toledo Walleye in the ECHL. It's about a 3-4 hour drive from Ferris State. And I was about halfway through the drive when I got a call from Bridgeport and said they wanted to give me an opportunity. So I made a quick turn. My house was luckily only about an hour away. So I went home for the night. My parents drove me to the airport to fly out to Bridgeport the next day. But, you know, just getting a start in the American League right out of college, you know, was a great stepping stone. And I was really excited to get that opportunity.
So you dipped your toe in the American League, and then following this, there was a 4-year stint between teams in the AHL, the East Coast League, including six loans during the time. How does bouncing around the leagues and the teams affect you as a player?
It's tough sometimes, you know, living out of a suitcase in hotels pretty much every time I got called up. So it was definitely difficult at times, but, you know, that was the dream. You know, you want to get called up, you want to push yourself to get to a better league and go to the highest level of hockey possible. So for the most part, I was, excited about the opportunities and kind of always just told myself, just, you know, be comfortable being uncomfortable. I mean, it's not always going to be easy. You're not always going to, you know, be comfortable every time you play. There's going to be, you know, maybe a bus trip or two that goes the wrong way and all of a sudden you're late to game. Stuff's going to happen. So just be comfortable being uncomfortable, and that's kind of how I approached it.
Do you think, from a personal opinion, it's easier in that situation being a netminder? Because use Tyler, for example. Say he was bouncing around AHL on the East Coast, and one night he's playing in Bridgeport, he's quarterback in the power play. He then goes down to somewhere on the East Coast, and they go, "Oh, by the way, you're not even on the power play unit tonight." Then the following night, he's back on the power play. And you change, you learn all different scenarios constantly and put into new situations. With being a netminder, is it easier because you've got your own situation to address and you're not going to have to worry about one night quarterback in a power play, next night, fourth line?
Probably in some aspects, definitely not having to learn a new system every single time was nice for me. I had to get used to the D zone and some communication type things was probably the biggest adjustment for me, because different organizations or different teams use different, you know, keywords and stuff like that. So I needed to make sure I was saying the right thing to make sure we were all on the same page and didn't have anything, you know, bad happen, turnover, just stuff like that. But I think for the most part, players, you know, ECHL, AHL are smart, and, you know, they kind of understand the game. So it's probably a little bit of adjustment for sure to kind of, you know, get the new systems or whatever, but you know, they're there for a reason and they're smart enough to, you know, figure that out for the most part.
What's the up and down between the leagues? I know you mentioned you learned to be comfortable being uncomfortable. Was that up and down movement the reason for the move to Europe?
Probably one of them. You know, I got quite a few American League games over my first, you know, 4 years pro up and down, and I you know, what would have liked an opportunity maybe try to stick there. You know, I don't really necessarily think I got the opportunity quite yet just to be in like someone's big picture and, you know, have a chance to stick. And that's what I was looking for. You know, whether I made it or didn't make it was up to me, and I didn't feel like I even got that opportunity. So that's kind of why I decided I head over to Europe and kind of, you know, see what that's all about. And I had a lot of friends play in Europe in different spots and heard a lot of good things about the hockey and the cultures and stuff like that. So really wanted to, you know, give it a shot.
So you end up in Innsbruck in the EBEL, a league that's kind of growing a little bit in stature. I mean, I think most of the European leagues are catching up with each other at the moment. The season didn't go the way you wanted. The team didn't seem to be getting much wins, and obviously you ended up leaving Innsbruck. What was the experience like in Innsbruck, and how did your departure come about?
Yeah, we didn't start the way we wanted to there. We had a lot of overtime games and couldn't figure out to get a win. We hit a lot of posts, and it just seemed kind of like, for whatever reason, we didn't gel as quite well as other teams I've been on. Like we said, we couldn't really put a finger on it or we would have fixed it. And, you know, as a goalie, you know, you lose, it's on the goalie type thing. And, you know, I've known that for years, and that's okay. I embrace that. They just decided to bring in, you know, a different goalie, and they thought that'd help them out. It's up to them what happened the rest of the year for them to figure out if it helped them out or not. But for me, you know, it was almost like a little mental break to get out of there, because it was starting to become a tough situation. And, you know, when I got out of there, I got the opportunity to come over to Coventry, and I was excited about it.
So, yeah, what a turn of events that turned out to be for you, CJ. Obviously, should we say a situation that was getting productively bad in terms of the team not performing well. Like you say, there were a couple of overtime losses that you just couldn't put your finger on what to do. And then you, just before the end of the calendar year, signing Coventry. And as mentioned in your intro, you went on to obviously have a good few months with us. And I don't recall losing in regulation whilst you were with us. I'm sure Ash, who does all the stats and the kind of nerdy stuff, will tell me something in a minute. But what was your first thoughts when that offer comes in? Like, did you know that there was ice hockey in England and what kind of level it was at?
Yeah, so almost every summer I've had a call from a different English team league or different English team about potentially coming over to the league. And, you know, at that time I just wasn't quite ready. So I definitely knew there was a league, and I knew, you know, a lot of good players that I came over and played in it. For me, like after about Innsbruck kind of said they were going another direction, it was probably about a month and a half or so. And I was actually skating with like the U20 team and U18 team there, trying to stay in shape and just trying to do whatever I could to stay in shape and looking for the next opportunity. And when Danny called me in Coventry and said, hey, you know, we have an opportunity here, we want you to come in, I was just really excited to get back on the ice, get back skating, because, you know, skating with the U20 team for a month and a half, I was starting to think, wow, am I going to find a spot to play the rest of the year? What's going to happen? Am I going to, you know, maybe done playing hockey because I can't find a spot at this point? A lot of things went through my mind, so I was just happy to get that opportunity and wanted to make the most of it.
Fair enough. So what was your first thoughts on the British leagues in comparison to the North American leagues and obviously the league that you just come from? Where would you kind of put the British game?
Yeah, I'd say it's definitely, you know, around ECHL level. Obviously, some of the top guys, you know, had a lot of American league experience too. So you can almost say, you know, some of the top lines in the league can play at that American league level. The skills really good. The pace is fast. It's just a little bit different game being on the Olympic size sheet of ice compared to the NHL size. Skilled guys, they get any, you know, a little more space to kind of make plays and do stuff. So yeah, the game's a little bit different, but, you know, the speed, the skill-wise stuff is, you know, really comparable.
Yeah, no, that's good to hear then. So Danny Stewart calls you and says, got this opportunity for you to come and join us here in Coventry. How does he sell the city to you? Because we are all local lads. We will have our opinion on the city because obviously we've lived here all our life. How does he sell it to you as a newbie?
No, he doesn't necessarily really sold me on the city. He sold me on the team. He said we had a great group of guys in the locker room, and that turned out to be true. I still talk to quite a few of the guys on a, you know, weekly or monthly basis, what's going on with them. And, you know, he sold me on the group of guys. He sold me on, you know, what they were doing and him as a coach as well. You know, I really liked his philosophies and kind of how he challenged us to get better every day. And I really enjoyed that challenge to get better every day, because in my mind, if we're not getting better every day, then maybe we're getting worse today. And, you know, I don't think we want to go in that direction. So he more sold me on the team and him as a person.
Oh, it's good to hear, though, that he obviously sold it on the team. And I suppose the difficult question then is, for you, you're walking in, say, mid-season, you've got this dressing room full of guys who've had a few months together. Is that nervous for you to walk into that situation, or did the guys, because of how well they all are, did they just welcome you and you just settled in straight away and that's why we went on that amazing run of form?
Yeah, like I said, they're a great group of guys and really welcomed me right away. It was right around Christmas time, actually, and there's a big gift exchange going on, and, you know, I got in the gift exchange right away day one, so I think they kind of saw me hitting in there as well. And I think, you know, we just gelled quick, especially after the first couple games. We realized, like, hey, this is starting to feel pretty good. Let's keep doing what we're doing and keep it rolling.
Yeah, no. So Ash has commonly informed me, went on a 17-game winning streak, not losing in regulation. So clearly there was a good atmosphere within the dressing room. One question that that always stands out to us is, we'd had a bit of a run beforehand with the previous netminder, and we kind of were losing games by the odd goal, which was slightly frustrating as fans. You come in, New Year's Day, down in Cardiff, you know, one of the big teams in the league, and you go and shut them out in their barn. How's that feel?
Yeah, I mean, it's always good to get a shutout, no matter, you know, what time of the year, who you're playing. You know, it's always that good feeling. And, you know, a lot of people say congrats to me, but, you know, it's a team game too. You know, those guys played really well defensively in front of me. We didn't give turnovers or anything like that. A lot of people made a big deal about it because we were in Cardiff, and I guess that doesn't happen or too often. Me being new to the league and just didn't really know that. I mean, obviously I know, you know, they're usually one of the top teams in the league. So maybe that, you know, had a little motivation, you know, go in there and, you know, make sure I was on top of my game. But for the fact that I didn't really put any more pressure on myself that say that, hey, we're playing Cardiff, have to be extra good tonight. I just went out there and kind of played my game. And as a team, we had a great game too. And, you know, I don't think really gave up a lot of lot of turnovers or out of hand rushes, which, you know, helped me, you know, get that shutout, but overall get the team win, which is more important to me. I'd rather get up a goal and get a win than, you know, go to overtime and lose in a shootout 0-0.
It's a fair comment. No. So obviously you've done a lot of North American leagues. How's the Sky Dome compare as an arena to what you've previously experienced?
You know, the atmosphere is great. You know, when the fans get in there and get cheering, you know, it gets loud, you know, a little bit lower of a ceiling than a lot of places I played, but that just helps with the atmosphere. It gets even louder in there. So, you know, I really like the Sky Dome as a place to play. It felt like home. That's why, you know, maybe another reason why we played so well. It just felt like home to all of us.
Yeah, good to hear. So I don't know if you're aware, I don't know if Danny ever told you this, but obviously in the UK leagues or the British leagues, the league title is seen as the ultimate trophy to win. Whoever's top of the pile at the end of it is the kind of big dog. We were on a good run of form, and then obviously COVID comes in. What was your thoughts? Do you think we could have maybe snuck in and won it off in the end, or do you think it was maybe keep the momentum going and aim for playoffs?
No, I think we had a really good chance to win the whole thing. I think we had 5 games left. We actually, I think, are playing the Friday. It got canceled. Who was it? Someone was in to come and play us. You know, I think we could have kept that going that night, and we would have think we were 3 points out. So win that game, and we're a couple points out, or 1 point out, and we were playing Cardiff the next Wednesday for the first place game. So we kept that streak going for 2 more games. All of a sudden, we were at the top, or, you know, maybe tied. So I think everyone in the locker room, we didn't really talk about, you know, getting to the top. We were kind of taking it, you know, just game by game, day by day, and I think that helped us not get too far ahead of ourselves.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, we had the feeling like, hey, we really could have done it.
Good to hear. Fife was the game you were referring to, who, for their own reasons, were obviously not in the best of positions. So we've all said that was pretty much a victory nailed on. We don't care what anybody else says. And we've all said that we were going for some sort of trophy. Ash has said numerous times last year we were winning the playoffs, if not the league as well. So Ash has jinxed us there if the season was to have started again. The only question I've got now then for you, CJ, is, and it's a standout moment for me, there's a game where we go up to Glasgow. There's a bit of an incident. I can't remember if it was in the third period. I know we were winning the game. And I think you lose your footing around the net, and there's one of their Glasgow players just at the top of the crease, literally got open net, and out of nowhere, your glove comes, just stops him on the line, windmill, down on the line, done. What do you remember that?
Yeah, it was second period, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't remember the score at the time. I think we were up by 1, maybe 2. Probably actually got myself out in bad position on the first shot, kind of slid outside my net. But, you know, you just really can never give up on the play. It doesn't matter how, you know, open a guy looks in front. You know, you still got to try to battle and try to make whatever save I can, whatever I can put in front of the puck to stop it. And I just kept battling and finished the play out and, you know, I just made a nice glove save.
I was actually at that game. I think there was about 20 Blaze fans there. And there was no red light. All the Clan players were celebrating. The fans were celebrating. And I'm thinking, I don't think that's gone in. And then there was nothing kind of made of it. And then because we were like level with you and that, we were like, he's just saved that. And then obviously we went on, and it was just an unreal moment. And when we watched back the highlights, I was really frustrated with the Clan commentator because he just goes, that's a save. And it was just like that moment needed a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, even the ref, I think, I'm pretty sure they reviewed the goal just to see if it went in or not. And even the ref came up to me after that and goes, I'm pretty sure you saved it, but I got to review that just to make sure. So, yeah, I mean, those are always great saves to make when you fooled the other team and thinking they had something and then kind of just taking right away, and can give your team that much more momentum to go down there and continue playing well or score another goal to get even more ahead. And yeah, that was, still enjoy thinking about that save.
Now, Danny's mentioned the season ending abruptly, and we've all got our theories on what Blaze we're going to win, how it was going to happen. was all the positivity around the team at the time and going in the right direction, was that part of the reason for re-signing to come back for this season, what's not happening?
Yeah, I think, you know, we had a good amount of guys already signed back at the time when I signed. Plus, you know, Danny was talking to a couple of their guys about coming back too. So I think just, you know, that, like I said, it was a great group of guys. I enjoyed that. It's always nice to put on the jersey with a group of guys you really want to battle for. So, you know, that group in there, I enjoyed playing with and playing for. So, you know, that made the decision a little bit easier. Plus, like I mentioned earlier, I like the way, you know, Stewie really coached the team and challenged us every day. And I enjoyed that as a player. So it was almost an easier decision to, you know, to sign back and hopefully continue what we had going for this season that, you know, didn't quite work out yet.
Yeah, not worked out just yet, has it? That's the annoying thing. But we'll have hockey back soon, hopefully. So, tying off the time in Coventry for now, is there any stories from your time with the club what are airable for the pod?
That are airable for the pod? I mean, you got a lot of stories. Nothing crazy. We just, every time we got together in a big group, we liked to play this game. I don't even really know if we ever came with this great name for it, but where you just pick a category, you write something down on a picky piece of paper, sticky note, and you kind of pass to the person on your left, put it on your head, and they got to try to guess whatever is on your head, yes or no kind of game. And, you know, we just really enjoyed that, got bonded over that game and got closer as a group. And I think, you know, that's another thing. We just liked hanging out and doing stuff together. So I won't say, you know, if we had a beverage or two during those games or not, but we enjoyed it.
Now, from the events the teams had with, obviously, Russ's testimonial, there was a few good nights there. And any night out and even in the casino, the team really bonded, and it was good to see. And it's such a shame that we couldn't continue that. It's one of the seasons that we would have loved to have. And I know I sound like a broken record saying that, but I am going to keep saying that. So another one for me, CJ, is if you could pick from your career two D-men and three forwards to be playing in front of you, who would they be?
Wow. I don't know. That's a tough one. I've played with a lot of good players over the years. Especially, you know, in the American League, and guys who went on to play, you know, NHL games. So are we doing this based on a skill level or based on how much I like the players? Because
I reckon a bit of both. You can,
I just want to put
one D you like, maybe not as good, but the standout D man in front, maybe just five guys that you love.
Yeah. Well, I just want to put on record that Johnny Johnston would not be one of them. No, I'm just kidding. We had a good relationship, like I said. So if he ever hears that, he'll probably give me a what the heck? I should have been your number one pick. So no, Johnny, you're not my number one pick. Maybe second line, not first line. I would probably say, you know, probably playing with my brother. He'd probably be up there. We played against each other in college a couple times in pro in the American League. So that was kind of cool to play against him. Be pretty cool, I think, to play with him as well. Oh, this is tough. I don't know. Too many guys that I enjoyed playing with. As far as, you know, I liked Drew, captain. He took a nice block off the cup area for me last year. So I really enjoy that dedication from a guy like that. So shout out to him. He'd be up there. He's a pretty good point man too. Got a good shot, can skate. I don't know. I can't pick guys. I feel like I'm going to upset too many guys. There's too many good players I play with overall. Sorry about that.
Nah, no worries. No worries. That's completely understandable. Yeah, I remember Drew taking that block, and it slowly came out that he was injured, and people are like, well, what's happened? And it was a, awkward conversation, to say the least. I noticed in Venus's testimonial that he had a little stint out playing. How was that? Enjoy it?
Yeah, that was a great experience. You know, as a goalie, you want to think you'd be a great forward. And I usually tell the guys I'd probably score like 20 goals a year if I was a forward. Realistically, if I actually played in a real game, I'd probably make one pretty good toe drag move and then get leveled because I had my head down the whole time. But no, it was great. You know, that's another story. You know, Johnston came off the ice and I was chirping him about it. I said, you got to back check harder. You got to play harder. Like, this isn't a giveaway game. Let's win this thing. And he just said, you want to get out there, and just gave me his gloves. And so I went. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun. You know, congratulations to Ross. That was an awesome night. I don't think anyone didn't have a good time. I know everyone had a great time. And if they did it, then I don't know, something's wrong with them. But yeah, it was a great time and a great way to kind of have fun during the season, because sometimes, you know, the season's so serious all the time. So having a little game midweek, kind of mid-season, to kind of give yourself a mental break was awesome.
Just going to throw a quick one in here, CJ. The season you're currently playing in or waiting to play in, how's that been so far? Obviously, you've started in the Coast and you're now up with Bridgeport in the AHL. How's this COVID season, if we call it, gone?
I mean, it's been interesting. A lot of new protocols everywhere, you know, COVID testing a few times a week at the minimum, if not more. Restrictions on not being able to really go restaurants or anything like that. Pretty much just cooking for myself all the time. Got 5 games down in Allen on the ECHL to start the year. And then got a call from Bridgeport saying, you know, they needed another goalie up here. So, you know, we'll have 3 on the roster. I think a lot of NHL has to have 3 goalies all year. American Leagues, I think most teams are having 3 just for protocol reasons. Because, you know, I've been in Bridgeport for 8 days now, but 7 of them had to be in quarantine to make sure I didn't have it, getting tested every other day. So they're taking it super seriously because they want to have a full scheduled season, whatever scheduled right now. So they're taking every precaution they can. And, you know, it's just interesting. It's really the only way to put it. It's another reason where you got to be comfortable being uncomfortable, because I know I haven't been able to train like I usually do every summer. A lot of stuff's been shut down, you know, gym-wise. Michigan, the rinks were open for a little bit of time, but not fully open. So I got some nice time, but not as much as usual. And, you know, as much as mentally it's like, well, I don't feel like you should do going into the season, but that's everyone. Just got to kind of push through it and kind of do whatever it takes to, you know, get yourself ready for games.
Yeah, it's definitely a challenging time, CJ. We've all been talking about it with the NHL starting back up. We've been watching games and I've never seen so many high scoring games in, you know, so consecutive. So it is an unusual time, but Scott's enjoying it because he likes the high scoring games. So just coming to the end of everything for you now, CJ, there's only one question I've really got, and it's something you kind of mentioned there. You played against your brother a few times. Was there always that brother rivalry when playing? Who could outsmart who? Who would always stop the one from scoring, or who would try and score the most? Did you always have that bit of friendly rivalry?
Yeah, growing up, our dad painted a hockey rink on our basement floor. So we did a lot of time down there shooting, rollerblading together, just trying to get better, pushing each other. So that was really nice. And, you know, when we got to play each other in college and pro, we kind of approached it as, hey, we're just playing another game. Didn't really worry about it. But just, you know, after the fact and looking back at it, it was a pretty neat experience both times. In college, our first game went to a shootout and he got the shoot on it and I saved it. The next time in college, he got a goal. I think he paid his teammate to run me over a little bit because he just tapped in a rebound after I was in the corner, ran over. But, you know, it still counts. But at the end of the day, we honestly haven't really talked about it, about those moments, more of just playing against each other, not as specifics, because, you know, at the end of the day, we both try our best out there every day. So, you know, going against each other is fun, but, you know, after, before the game, you know, he's just another player on their team. After the game, he's my brother, is kind of how.
Yeah. So with the basement then, obviously brothers being brothers, I've got a brother, I know what it's like. Who was the first person to drop the gloves?
Yeah, well, I'm 3 years older than him, so I kind of got that intimidation factor on him throughout growing up, so he knew not to mess with me. I think I still hold that a little bit over him, even though I'm pretty sure we dropped the gloves now. He's pretty beast in the weight room, so he might have the advantage now, but I think mentally I still got that stigma over him.
Fair enough. So I'll just go around and ask Ash and Scott if they've got anything now. So Ash, have you got any more?
Just a bit about your brother, really. How is it for you, though, watching your brother play in the biggest league in the world? And he's quite a tenacious character. He's got nearly, well, around 200 regular season games and just about a handful of playoff games. He's got to be proud, you being the big brother, looking down on him.
Yeah, it's awesome to see all the success he's having up there. I mean, I got to see his work ethic and kind of the work he put in over the years. So I know he put in the time, and he deserves everything that he's been given so far. It's not necessarily been given to him. He's earned those opportunities, and when he got them, he made the most of them. So being able to watch him is great. You know, the only unfortunate part is in Vancouver, which is on the West Coast, and I'm on East Coast time, so their games tend to be a little bit late for me. But luckily, they're doing that Canadian division in the NHL this year, so they'll be in Toronto, Montreal a little bit more, so I can hopefully see a few more games in full.
I was going to say, that could be one small positive of the lockdown, that you might get to see a few more of Tyler's games, because there's not much else we can do.
Yeah, exactly.
No, definitely not. Scott, any more from you?
Yeah, obviously, this season's going to be a bit of a weird season for you, up and down with the quarantine and all your testing and that. And I hope the season goes well for you. But I also hope that we will see you again in Coventry. So if Danny gives you a call, please don't ignore it. Just speak to him. That'd be great.
No, I think me and Danny had a good relationship. So if he gives me a call, you know, I'd answer it. I mean, we've talked over the summer a bit about hockey and other things too. So I think we left it in a good spot. He was pretty happy for everyone who got the opportunity to play this year. He didn't want to hold anyone back. He wanted to make sure anyone who got the opportunity, you know, got the chance to play this year, because it was kind of undecided in the UK for a while. So I think, you know, as players, you respect that too. As a coach, you know, he doesn't want to just hold you down because we had a good team. He wants you to make sure, you know, you take care of yourself and play when you can and develop even more. So I think all the players who, you know, he, I don't know the right terminology, let go to go play during this weird COVID year, I think everyone kind of respected him for that.
Just another one from me, CJ. Obviously, you've been called up to Bridgeport and you've got to have the 3 goals. Do you have any sort of time span that you'll be there? Are they pretty transparent in what they say, or is it literally you just get told day by day?
Well, I think the schedule that came out to over 4.5-5 months. So, I mean, hopefully I'm here that whole time and getting able to get the opportunity to play some games. Honestly, I haven't been to the rink yet. I've talked to the coach a couple of times on the phone and the goalie coach on the phone, but realistically, I'll probably get a lot more information once I'm actually in the rink and getting face to face. Like I said, my goal is mostly just to get better every day. So it'd be nice to, you know, have a goalie coach there help me out every day, and hopefully I can take full advantage of that. And whatever coach, you know, I'm not expecting just to get handed games. I know I'm going to have to earn them through good practices. So just go out there and have some good practices. Hopefully you can earn some games. And when I get in there, you know, play my game and do well enough to earn another game. It's kind of how I'm approaching the year.
No, it's a good mentality to have. Obviously, you've got to take it each session at a time, especially in current situation more so. But so that's pretty much everything we've got for this evening for you, CJ. So the only thing I can say is thank you for joining us, obviously, to for this episode. We hope the season does go well, and I'll echo what Scott says. Don't ignore any of Danny Stewart's calls. And we hope to see you back in the Blaze Blue soon. So that's it for today's episode. We hope you've enjoyed it. If you have any questions that you'd like to pop to us about any future guests, by all means, drop us a tweet or a Facebook message. And we hope to all see you soon in an ice rink to watch some sort of hockey.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks again for listening to the Third Period of Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the show. Remember to check out Willie's Ice Hockey Emporium for all your ice hockey needs.